what has happened with the latest events in Russia and Ukraine. We had a drone attack on nuclear bombers in Russia and two attacks on the bridges in the Kursk and Bryansk regions. How, in your opinion, this sort of escalation, we know that without, as Russians were talking about, without the intelligence coming from the United States and Europeans, Ukrainians were not able to do this. Your take on the main objective?
Well, I think the Ukrainian logic is very simple. They're not winning on the battlefield, and there is no chance at all that they will win on the battlefield, no matter what weapons the West tries to provide them with. They're losing, and they're losing very steadily. The Russians are in no rush to defeat them quickly, and as a result, to suffer more casualties. The Russians are minimizing casualties, maximizing Ukrainian casualties. That is their entire approach. And so what the Ukrainians are doing, what the Ukrainian regime is doing, is trying to demonstrate to their Western patrons, if you will, that they're still good for something. So look, we're not really warriors, but we're good terrorists. Don't you like terrorists? You funded ISIS for a long time. You gave Osama bin Laden lots of money. Why not us? We're good for it. Look, we blew up some 40-year-old strategic bombers. And three or four of them got damaged. Nobody knows whether they're beyond repair or not, but they're 40-year-old airframes. And so that is not a huge deal for Russia. And a huge deal for Russia is that 117 people got hurt by this railway accident that was staged by the Ukrainians. The forensic evidence shows that the Ukrainians were behind it. They used US-made plastic explosive, large amounts of it. And the trigger was a remote electronic trigger that is typically used by the Ukrainians for terrorist attacks, and they've used it repeatedly. So that's the smoking gun that Russia needs to pin it on the Ukrainians. And then there was the completely failed attack on the long-suffering Kerch Bridge that links Crimea with the Russian mainland. And that attack went nowhere. They used a robot submarine and some robot surface vessels. They didn't penetrate the boom and netting that protects the pylons that the bridge rests on. So there was really no damage. Plus, the bridge is designed to withstand similar attacks. The supports are surrounded by these pucks, large, massive pucks of reinforced concrete that are designed to withstand huge explosions, relatively huge explosions. So traffic on the bridge was paused for a few hours twice, and that was all the damage there. But what is really significant is the number of casualties on the terrorist attack on the railway. And it is shifting the public opinion in Russia from considering the Ukrainians as a brotherly people, basically same as the Russians, speaking the same language, going to the same churches, basically having the same culture, same history, shared history, etc. Watching these people rejoice and treat these terrorist attacks as their victories, which some of that was quite obvious in social media and on Ukrainian television, etc. That is shifting public opinion in Russia from thinking that, you know, these people are too far gone to be reclaimed as Russian. And so that is going to some extent lift the psychological barrier on just blowing them up, just basically treating them as non-Russian populations that are at war with Russia. and collateral damage doesn't matter. So that is a really bad thing for the Ukrainians to have done for their own population. Of course, the Ukrainian regime doesn't care about their people at all. They're fighting a losing battle down to the last Ukrainian. But that is really psychologically how that affects the conflict. And I think that that's significant. Now, in terms of some people hyperventilating, saying, well, Russian strategic bombers, all four of them got attacked and damaged, and that could trigger a nuclear confrontation between the superpowers because of a certain clause in the Russian nuclear doctrine that says that a non-nuclear state that attacks Russian nuclear assets with support from another nuclear state, which is sort of the case here. The Ukrainian drones use Starlink to communicate with whoever was flying them, in fact, you know, that could trigger a nuclear confrontation. But there's a problem with there. The attack wasn't serious. In one case, they did destroy some nuclear-capable strategic bombers. Were they actually part of the nuclear triad at the moment? Maybe they won't. Maybe they weren't armed. Maybe they were demonstration projects. They're updating these old 40-year-old supersonic jets. They have an M in their designation, which means modernized. But maybe they were not part of the nuclear triad at all. In some cases, the attack was just the inability of the Americans to interpret satellite images. So in one place in Siberia, an airport was attacked that was used to store dead jets. Some of them didn't even have engines. Okay, so basically they wrecked some written-off jets that were waiting to be scrapped. And the reputational damage for doing, you know, for destroying scrap is, you know, not exactly a victory, let me put it that way. So in all, I would say that the attack on the passenger train is significant because it has shifted the psychology in Russia more in the direction of ignoring collateral damage on the attacks on the Ukrainian territory. And also it has certified the Kiev regime as a terrorist regime. Therefore, international law and diplomacy and all of that, and negotiations, peace talks, whatever, all of that is out the window. I want to make it clear there will be no negotiations with the Kiev regime past this point. It's a terrorist regime. Terrorists need to be killed, and Russia is going to kill them. That has been stipulated already. And so that's the change that has taken place.
We had Donald Trump calling Vladimir Putin, talking with him. And he said he didn't know about it. He wasn't aware of what's going on. Two sides of this sort of argument on his part. If he knew, that's problematic. If he didn't know, also problematic. In your opinion, when he said that to Vladimir Putin and we argue in this, don't you think that he's putting himself in a position that would humiliate him, would somehow shows that how ineffective he is in his position?
Well, everybody and his dog knows that Trump is ineffective as president. What has he achieved as president so far? Nothing. And he's gone back on all of his campaign promises, and he's basically a blabbermouth. He's a clown, just like Zelensky is a clown. he's a, you know, basically a show host or something. He's not the president. But the Americans are used to that. They went through 4 years of not having a president at all. As it turns out, they had an auto pen president. So now they have a blabbermouth president. Now, you said that Putin called Zelensky. Trump called Putin.
Yeah, yeah.
That is not factual. We don't know who called whom. We know that the conversation took place because both sides said that there was a conversation. It took an hour and 15 minutes. Everybody's in agreement about that. What they talked about, we don't know. They could have talked about the weather. Now, what Trump knows or doesn't know, what people tell him, what they don't tell him, again, sort of irrelevant, but the message went out that, oh, I didn't know. Okay, so that means that I'm not responsible. That means that you can be absolutely free to blow up the Kiev regime at your pleasure, and we won't stir. They did a bad thing. They're terrorists. What can we say? They used to be nice guys. We thought they were nice guys. Now it turns out that they're bastards. So just treat it as an internal Russian problem. That is the basic message. So the Ukraine is no longer a subject of international law. It's a subject for Russia to deal with as an internal Russian problem. American state, if you want to call it that, is not very controllable at this moment. So basically, there are a lot of CIA types that are dead set against Donald Trump and really want to hurt him. They don't really follow orders from him. We don't know what's going on at the Pentagon. They have some guy in charge of the Pentagon now who hasn't been in charge of such an organization ever before in his life. These are people who are just basically confused. They're babes in the woods. They've never run such huge, ineffectual bureaucracies before. So I don't think the Russians are really counting on making able to make agreements with the Americans. They've tried that before, you know. They consider Americans non-agreement capable. So from the Russian point of view, it is rather helpful if the Americans get the hell out of Europe. And the Americans think that it would be, well, Trump, for one, and the people around him seem to think that getting out of Europe is also a good idea. The problem is that all of Europe now is run by these Atlanticist zombies who have been brainwashed to think that the national interests of European countries do not exist. They're basically there to support the United States as a unit. And if the United States is leaving, they're lobotomized. They don't know what to think or what to think with. And Bundeskanzler Merz now is just completely lost because his entire career was basically being coddled by Americans and doing the Americans' bidding and being nice to the Americans and just basically kissing ass. You know, he was just in the White House, and what did he do? He kissed ass. You know, he doesn't know how to do anything else except kiss American ass. And if American ass doesn't want to be kissed, he's out of a job. Basically, he doesn't have any other competences. So and that is typical of most European leaders at this point. Ever since Merkel, Germany has been run by these, you know, pro-American sycophants who don't think that Germany is really a country. It's very important for them to keep this conflict going because now that they've cut their ties with Russia, the quality of life in Europe will be dropping all the time. People are going to be suffering. They're going to be poor. And the only way to explain to their people that this is just the way it should be, that this is inevitable and even heroic for them to suffer this way, is for there to be a war and for Russia to be portrayed as an existential threat, which is what they're trying to do. It's based on some lies, but they're very good at lying, so that's not a problem.
Donald Trump said that he didn't know about the attack, Ukrainian attack on Russia. What is your understanding if he's not aware of what has happened? What is the role of the President of the United States that is the main player in what's going on in Ukraine?
Well, he's lying. Let's start with that. He was on it from the get-go. It's clear as, you know, as the day. And there are a number of, so to speak, ramifications if we want to go into this rabbit hole, you know, trying to analyze or rationalize his movements. But you have to understand, and even the tone of the, well, narration, if you wish, or there will be no printout, obviously, of the real conversation there. And the fact that he called Putin, obviously, Vladimir Putin had no interest in discussing anything with him. And after his statement today, and you probably heard what Mr. Putin stated, including the fact that those people who support Kyiv regime, which is now defined purely as terrorist regime, are accomplices. That means that United States is accomplice in that terrorist activity. So, and if Mr. Trump thinks, which he does, that he's smarter than everybody else, well, I have a bridge to sell him. And judging, well, you have to understand even the verbiage of Trump. He has a very limited vernacular. And when he says something like, oh, we have a wonderful, incredible discussion, that means what? Something could have been discussed which had any value. When he says that it was good conversation, that means he was told just to go to pound sand and nothing changes. And again, many people do not understand. I already elaborated on this yesterday in my video and wrote the memorandum which Russians presented to Ukraine. Not only it is, well, it is their ultimatum, okay, whatever you, but it's memorandum to Mr. Trump. And if he doesn't understand what is going on, it's his problem. But it looks like, as always, which is very characteristic of Trump, he lost control of his administration, or probably he never had it to start with. And he is being played as a fool that he is, because he has zero background in understanding the strategy and especially military aspect of it. He was and still is played by all kinds of neocons, including this moron, Kellogg, you know, who won't be allowed to, you know what, to sweep the floor in any Russian army barrack, but he's a general, you know. And judging by the absolute tsunami, if you wish, you know, the tidal wave of the so-called information, which comes from the primarily Kyiv, they still believe that Russia sustained, like, you know, million casualties. Evidently, Ukraine destroyed the third of the Russian strategic bomber force, so things of this nature. So Putin's regime is about to fall, okay? That's how they operate in the White House, and that tells you practically what I've been on the record for a long time. Those people who run the whole thing, including the U.S. military, especially its top brass, they're incompetent people. They don't know what real war is. They don't understand operational planning. They do not understand technology, modern technology. And as a result, we have what we have. And yeah, Mr. Putin already went on record today. And this is pretty much, I don't know how else you can describe it. But yes, United States is accomplice in the terrorist activity in Russia. Trump is afraid to go and attack Iran, because it can, let me put it this way. His presidency is over. It's over, okay? It's just that the guy still doesn't get it. You wouldn't expect from the man with extremely low culture. He's extremely badly read. He doesn't have class, you know? So he is a classic, he's a showman and New York real estate shyster. So expecting anything of this man, understanding, grasping of the international relations history, things of this nature, you already saw yourself what is happening for the last 5 months since his tenure, and it's complete disaster. And in this respect, everything what he knows, he lives in the alternative universe. No matter what kind of steps he takes, he doesn't have toolkit, intellectual toolkit, including the human toolkit to understand what is going on. And memorandum is for him. Memorandum is for the United States, because United States, and today it was reiterated by Vladimir Putin, that the main curator, he could have done so much. He did nothing. Absolutely nothing. He could have stopped the military aid. He never did it. Now, of course, today there is a thing. Yeah, they still, this kindergarten in Washington, D.C., they still pretend that they can play the, you know what, the ambivalence, you know what, the strategic ambiguity, because you have the bunch of the humanities dumbed down morons from the Ivy League who run the show, and they think that they know anything about war, real economy, let alone Russia as a state and nation. They don't. And as the result, again, 5 months into his, essentially almost 5 months, nothing has been done. No restoration of this direct flight between the United States and Russia. No restoration of the consulates, pardon me. So it's just, the guy is there just for the ride. He doesn't control anything. He doesn't know what he say, who will say next moment. And I think that he, this chaotic and often desperate movements are essentially what manifestations of what is happening in the United States as a whole, especially when we consider the fact that Elon Musk left and he is, you know what, he's swinging. I don't like Elon Musk. I know he's a shyster, you know, the, in every respect. He's not an engineer. He's not a real engineer. But at least on the platform that they were running with Trump, one of their promises was, apart from which, of course, they failed of to, you know, balance budget, let alone stop, you know, the progression towards the national debt, is was to cut down the, you know, Pentagon expenses. Well, we know what is happening now. So, I mean, the guy is just simply, I mean, I don't know, he's hollow. He's an empty suit. He's just there for the ride and, you know, what, massaging his ego. And he is not capable of running the country. He's simply inadequate. He's unqualified. I don't think he ever was. And whoever runs, he's now been, you know, kind of kicked in the corner as a child, which he is essentially. He's a grown-up child into the corner by the neocons and all kinds of the, you know, bureaucracies in the Washington, D.C. And he will be staying there. He will be presented with a fait accompli and said, oh, this is what we have. He has Kellogg. The guy's moron, actually. Militarily, he's incompetent. But he runs the show now. Okay? Trump wanted it, so Russia will oblige. And Vladimir Putin already stated today everything we needed to know.
One key issue that Vladimir Putin raised in the talks between the two presidents and also in his communication with the government in Russia, he said that the attacks, these terrorist attacks in the Kursk and Bryansk, they were designed to sabotage the talks in Istanbul. Mm-hmm. They wanted, Ukrainians were doing everything to sabotage the talks because they wanted Russia to move and just get away from the talks and negotiations, which Russia didn't decide. We know that, how mature they're going to behave in such extreme events that are happening. But when it comes to, as you've mentioned, the memorandum, the terms that Russia is putting on the table, they're all aimed at the United States and the foreign policy of the United States. I don't know why they do want Zelensky, who is in power in Ukraine, who doesn't want to lose his position in Ukraine, to negotiate on something that he's not capable. He's not anywhere close to what Russia is asking for.
Well, Mr. Medinsky yesterday went on the record. I put the video of his communicating with the Russian news agencies. And this is what he said. We spoke to Ukrainians, he said, before meeting, officially for less than an hour meeting. Basically, Russians presented them conditions for surrender. But Ukrainians told him, not obviously those guys wearing insignia of the SS division, 6th Infantry SS division, that's who those people are, who United States and Britain and Europe support. But he said they openly stated, and Medinsky quoted them, said, you are lucky, you have only one boss. We have three. And that means that what any kind of paper, that's what Medinsky says, it's not worth signing or anything. It's primarily negotiations to for the diplomatic reason. And what I stated from the get-go, that Russia is going to be pulling the gonads of this Tomcat for as long as it takes. You know, Russian diplomacy is really good at that. But the reality is that, you know what, Trump and European Union, whatever the relations now, which are really deteriorating, but it doesn't mean that they will be broken. I don't think so, between United States and European part of NATO. But Trump could have done it all before. As we're going to be going back to, and to the square one, and the more it continues, and I will repeat it again, as I'm stating this for the last at least couple of years. Russia can do it as long as it takes. Because in order to understand why Russia can do this as long as it takes, because you need to know what Russia is, what Russian economy, Russian military industrial complex are. Most people in Washington don't. Most, not all, but most don't. And they do not understand how to even handle this. And the question is that as of today, Russians are 20 kilometers from Sumy. It was predicted by me. The moment, if you probably remember, I love internet. It maintains records. You know, the moment they invaded Kursk region on the August 6th last year, I said immediately, that's it. Sumy is gone for them, you know. But there are many people, especially imperial general staff, you know, the British, you know, it's not imperial really, but whatever they call it, office of the general staff, they're a bunch of morons, amateurs, you know, so they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. Neither did Pentagon and those people, you know, like Kavoli and whoever sits in Rammstein and whatever, Zheshov, where they run those operations. That tells you everything. Well, Russians are 20 kilometers from Sumy, and Sumy being evacuated together with pretty much bulk of the whatever will be remaining of Sumy Oblast. 202 hamlets, towns, villages are mandatory evacuation. And so we have that. We have the real activity all along the front. And, well, the more United States continues to pretend that it has some power to influence that, the more of Ukraine will be lost, you know, and that already happened, that United States was humiliated militarily. This is what pretty much most of the propaganda machine of the United States is trying to spin it, like somehow it's, you know, something which it is not, but it is what it is. And Russians are openly laughing now. And my gosh, if you read Russian media and what Russian real professionals say, real professionals, not this garbage which they love to quote from those Telegram channels, much of them who are shysters, basically. So, and it's pathetic. They don't understand the level of humiliation. They are openly laughed at, you know. U.S. military is laughed at. I mean, the Pentagon, the Washington, D.C., State Department, things like that. And just, if Trump wants to continue with this, good luck. But don't forget, and you are correctly stated, but not quite. Iran is a very important point in Russian considerations. But yes, obviously, it's secondary to what Russia does. But it's still, Iran is a strategic ally of Russia. And Russia will do everything to prevent any kind of the conflagration there. And if need be, she will provide some, you know, defense for Iran, but do not forget, Russians are playing for the global south. Russia and the Russian people don't care about Europe. They don't care what Europeans think about Russians. They don't care how they treat Russians. They don't care if they hate Russians. Russians care about the overwhelming majority of the rest of the world, which is called global south, if we kind of use this. And global south, and Vladimir Putin already stated that he knows it better than anybody else, that global south already, there are so many countries which actually, as we speak, changed their, you know, allegiances, if you wish. Many people do not want to deal with the combined West, represented by the United States and Europe at all. And if we look at actually what is combined West, it is about, I would say, 800 million people. So what is the rest of the world? Well, 7.8 billion people. So you see the difference, right? So immediately that's what is the game is all about. And Ukraine, just one of the links, which I constantly state in this chain, strategic chain of the events. And Iran is critical here in this respect for Russia, and Russians will not allow it to the best of their ability. Obviously, it doesn't mean that Russia will openly go, you know, to fight on Iran's behalf. And I don't think Iranians would even want to do that. Iran is the critical element of this, and obviously we may only surmise or assume from what those generalities, platitudes, which are always stated after these talks, that Trump is afraid to attack Iran. He tries to probably, again, he still thinks that he's so amazing, so influential, his power, that say, oh yeah, we're going to attack Iran. And Putin said, no, you're not. And he probably indeed asked help to resolve it, because he is totally enslaved by the neocons. And we can see the old pattern emerging from Trump, when, although he doesn't have now that much of the pressure from the DNC, Democratic National Committee, and there, you know, what Chihuahua media and, you know, BLM and all kinds of things like that. No, he is now being beaten by the, you know, baseball bats by the neocons and all kinds of the warmongers in his administration. And so he has all this failed. He is a failure. He only can talk. And even MAGA now crowd says, you talk much. Where's the beef? You know, where's the beef? Well, there you go.